Blog Talk Radio.
Housewitches with Dorian Wallace, and as always, my lovely sister Raina.
Yeah, whatever.
That, I swear to God, the opening fucking snuck up on me quicker than I thought it was gonna. We were sitting chatting in the waiting room, so to speak, and you know, it was like, oh, your show will go live in 5 seconds. It's like, what the fuck? Seriously? Wow.
Do your shout out because I'm about to launch.
Okay. I will do my shout out to my lovely cousin Jessica. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. And I think I'm going to do sour cream and onion this time, if I can find them. Oh, wait. No. No, I forgot. I found Lay's waffle and chicken. Fried chicken and waffle. Friggin' chips. And they are awesome. So I'm going to send you a bag of those. Anyway, love you, Jess.
Love you, Jess.
So,
okay. First of all, I don't know about anybody else, but our opening music is working my last motherfucking nerve. It is loud. It is becoming like nails on a chalkboard. I am over it. Somebody give us a new piece of music or something original to fucking play. I am sick of that. That is just like the hooky spooky. And every time I hear it, I think of Hollywood and all of the things I hate about how we're portrayed. Okay, thank you for letting me rant. However, since you brought up whatever the fuck chicken and waffle potato chips, as long as we're on that topic, I'm very happy to announce that we are looking into having a guest speaker, the nonconformist nurse, Nurse Tish is actually a pagan nurse, and we are going to have the benefit on a rather frequent basis of getting knowledge from a nurse in the past. And we are going to talk about food, we're going to talk about GMOs, we're going to talk about Monsanto, motherfuckers. We're going to talk about how to eat healthy on a budget because many of our folks don't have a lot of money. So I'm looking out for you, bitches. Be good to me. I'm looking out for you.
I'm telling you.
Okay. And where the fuck did they come up with chicken and waffle potato chips? Where did that come from?
I don't know, because it's all the way up in, like, Pennsylvania and stuff. You know, I just heard about it, like, a couple years ago, and then Lay's Chips, they came out with chicken and waffles. I was like, oh, I've got to try this. Now, I like it. Now, my 6-year-old hates it. Max cannot stand it. He's like, that's yucky, Mom.
That is a smart boy. My nephew is smart.
Wait. Have you even tried them?
It's not about trying them. I guarantee you can't pronounce half the chemicals in it.
Probably not. You're probably not. You know,
Food is addictive for a reason, because food addiction makes illness, makes the need for medication, make us money for big corporation. We're going to cure. This is the year. Remember how we had the year of no drama?
Yes.
And we had the year of no trifling bitches. Remember those years?
No.
Okay.
Yes, that's actually That was last
You're,
year.
Correct. Well, this year is the year our bitch asses are going to get healthy. And I invite all you other, I invite all you pagans out there who are listening to join us. We are going to get some good advice on good food choices, and I want, I dragged y'all into politics with me because there's a lot of you out there that were not interested before, and we're going to keep dragging you through politics, and we're going to keep dragging you now into healthcare, and I'm telling you, it's going to be good for you. Auntie Ro is telling you, it's going to be good for you. Just listen to me when I tell you. I'm here to help you. And tell the folks about who else is coming up. We've got a meat maker, I hear.
Yes, actually, my friend James, he has written a book. He also does a vlog, and he makes his own mead, which I absolutely love mead. And we know that there's been a little tiff between a mead maker and our beloved Taliesin, and I completely am on board with him as far as
yes.
this jerk goes.
Yes.
We will not give him any airtime. We will not speak his name. He will not be mentioned. But we do have somebody who does make mead, and he is awesome, and you guys are going to love him. He's funny. We've also got coming up in April, Miss Dorothy Morrison is coming back.
Yes. We love her. We love us some Ms. Dorothy Morrison, honey. Get over to her website. Get her Hexology stuff. Get her books. Support us. Y'all need to support the family. That's correct.
Yeah, and I actually just purchased last week her cash flow. And I can tell you right now that...
Tell me.
You know, a lot of people know that I also, because I'm like, I swear I should have been born Jamaican, because I personally have 6 jobs that I do. I don't get paid much for it.
Wait a second. Back that shit up. You should have been born Jamaican? What is, I don't even understand the fucking reference.
Maybe this is just a Californian thing, but most of the Jamaicans that were in California worked like at least 4 to 5 jobs.
Okay.
You know, that's where that comes from. I probably work 6 jobs. Now they're not, you know, like full time jobs, but they are, you know, part time jobs. I run 2 shops.
Uh-huh.
One includes, you know, Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions, where I sell, you know, magical items. I also do ebook formatting. I produce and co-host this radio show. I do a little bit of writing. I haven't done much in the last couple of years. I am a booking agent for somebody in our community, and that actually may take care of our new intro music. So I do a lot of stuff, but where was I going with that?
I have no idea, honey. I'll let you take that tangent and watch you run. This is my sister. Oh, look, a squirrel. I mean, you guys know. You know how bad she is.
You know, and I saw my squirrel today. I haven't seen her in a couple days, so it's been pretty fun. Oh, that's what it was. I don't make a whole lot of money with the 6 jobs that I have. So I bought cash flow spell from Miss Dorothy Morrison.
Oh, finally, back to Dorothy. I'm glad we got there. I'm sorry, I was completely lost. Thank you.
Sorry. So, yeah, I bought that from her. I did the spell, and I've actually seen it starting to work. I've actually gained a new client with my my ebook formatting. So I'm like, yay! So, yeah, if you get a chance, go to wickedwitchesstudios.com. And actually, I should put that in here real quick. But, yeah, oh, my God, that stuff smells amazing.
Really? I may want to bathe in some of that. That sounds really good.
I'm telling you, no, you're going to want to, because it smells absolutely divine. It's just, I don't know how to describe the smell. It's
okay.
Fucking amazing. So anyway.
Well, that fucking amazing happens to be one of my absolute favorite fragrances, so right on the money with that one. Oh, get it? Right on the money. See, there was a pun in there. Did you see it? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Right on the money. Right on the money. Cash flow. It has a great fragrance. Right on the... Never mind. You had to be there. Oh,
jeez.
Okay, okay. Did you hear what I said? You see what I said? Okay. Anyway, so...
See, my sister's on the ball.
I'm on something. My leaf falls out of it. Anyway.
I'm not going there.
Don't go there. Okay. So tonight's episode, we have the Pagan Pundit, which I cannot wait because I'm sorry, until about a week and a half ago, I had never heard of sequester in the regard that we are talking about it these days. Well, that's why we have a Pagan Pundit. But before that, and I'm sure he will address this too, have you noticed the fucking price of gas? I am ready to lose my shit. I mean, I may have to sell all my shit just so I can afford some fucking gas. It's almost it's like over $3.80 a gallon here. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, crazy.
My car's not working, so I haven't filled up with gas since the last time I took my husband's car.
Wow.
And that was, I think, 320-something.
320-something.
When I started, and now this is in California. When I started driving, it was like 95 cents a gallon, and that was considered expensive.
Oh, I know. It's all relative to the time. Well, I mean, I remember when concert tickets were $7.50 to see, like, Santana, and everybody was like, oh, my God, that's a fortune. Okay, so you want to talk about the relative price of things. It's all relative. No matter what the price is, everyone says it's expensive throughout the ages. So, but the fact of the matter is that in the last 2 weeks, the price has gone up like 30 cents here.
My question. How the fuck do they expect us to live?
They don't. They don't.
So,
there is a separation between those who make a certain amount of money and those who do not, and it just makes it more difficult. It's almost like rewriting the laws of natural selection, only it's unnatural selection. It's the people who have money can afford to live, and the people who don't have money can't. And it's really scary, because I see it getting worse. And I know people who cannot survive just to put gas in their car. They have to, like, expense certain things differently and spend less on meals, and it's just really frightening.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm telling you right now, I'm one of those people. I'm like, we're not at poverty level, but we're not at middle class. We're that in between. You know, I can literally take $80 and figure out how to feed a family of four on that for 2 weeks. I have had to do that before. And it's fucking ridiculous because it's like you cannot buy any extras. There are no extras in our family.
Yeah.
There is no going out to lunch. There is no, you know what, I don't feel like cooking tonight. let's order out. There is no ordering out.
Yeah.
You know, and we are, I feel like I'm one of the forgotten people, you know, because
yeah.
there is no extra for us, you know, and it makes me feel guilty. It makes me feel bad when I can't say to one of my friends, you know what, let's go out to lunch. Because, A, I don't have a working fucking car. B,
mm-hmm.
even if I did, I can't afford the gas to put in it. And C, I can't afford my own lunch, let alone to take somebody else out.
Yeah.
You know, that just does not happen in my family. And it
yeah.
hurts. You know, I don't think, I know the friggin' Republicans, because I've got so many in my family that are like, well, you know, you should do this and you should do that. Yeah, well, you should
mm-hmm.
stick my fucking boot up your ass, because I don't want to fucking hear it. You know, I work
yeah.
six shots, and I still
yeah.
can't do that. I don't want to fucking hear it. You know,
yeah.
I feel bad for people who are on welfare because they're looked down upon. You know, I make just
yeah.
a minuscule amount above that we can't go on welfare. We can't.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
it's called the
shit out of luck.
It's called the working poor. That's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it
oh,
sucks.
Yeah.
I can tell
oh,
you
yeah.
right now, it sucks.
And
but
you
yeah.
are not you are not alone. Many of the people in our past definitely can relate to that, I have no doubt.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You know, so it's like, that's all I got to say to that is.
So, I have a question, and I don't know if anybody has the answer to this. Did we ever get our apology out of Tucker Carlson?
Yes, we did. We actually
We did.
I haven't bothered to watch it. Actually, let me see if I can. Yeah, I don't care. I don't fucking care. Just for the simple fact that, you know, he's on Fox News. What do I give a shit? What
yeah.
the hell he said? You know, if he makes fun of us, whatever.
Well, here's my point about it, though. I know that we don't care for Fox News. It's not our cup of tea. It's not what we listen to. But the fact of the matter is that if we made our voices loud enough that it had some sort of an impact, I don't want to discount that. I think that does count for something. I think it's
yeah.
important that we don't keep our mouths shut and just roll over and let it happen. Okay, maybe it's more than likely it was not a sincere apology. But if they were moved enough to feel like that was something they had to do, whether they wanted to do it or not, fair play to our people.
Yeah.
We made an impact. If something happened, we had a cause and effect happen. I'm good with that as a start.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, he only apologized to Wiccans. You know, and don't get me wrong, I understand a lot of people. You know, they take the pagan culture, they take our community, and they all kind of lump it into Wiccan,
yeah.
which,
yeah.
you know,
it's
I
not.
Know plenty of Wiccans. Yeah, I'm not, you know, and
right.
I know a lot of people who aren't. I don't mind. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like using the term Christian, you know, to encompass. Hold on a second. What is that?
She sees another squirrel.
No, my window is open, and I don't know what the hell my neighbors are doing, but they're making some kind of weird noise. Anyway, I digress.
Is it a weird sexy noise or a weird scary noise?
It's just a weird noise. It's like, I don't know if it's somebody's running a truck, or it's definitely not sexy, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, then I don't care. If it's not a sexy noise, I don't care.
Exactly. It's like, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Is it time for the pundit to come on and give me some knowledge here or what?
It's only 20 after, sweetie. I can call him.
Oh, it is? Call that bitch in. Call him in.
You bored talking to me already?
No, I'm not bored. I am not bored talking to you. Go on. You got a rant? Go on, mommy. I'll sit here and listen.
Actually, I don't know if I do have a rant.
See?
This entire month, I can tell you, I have been so much fucking happier. It's not even funny. I don't have to worry about being anywhere on Tuesday nights anymore. I don't have to worry about on somebody's beck and fucking call for no
money. And not getting paid for no money.
Hello. It's like, no, I am not being used. And, you know, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that did piss me off. You know, it's amazing how when you decide that you're not going to be used anymore, how people fucking drop you. And they decide, you know what, I don't need you anymore. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So I'm just going to go over here. And, you know, I'll maybe like your status every once in a while. Fuck you, you fucking cunt. Fuck
you. Whoa! Someone sounds like the... Somebody sounds like the older sister tonight. That would be you.
I'm telling you. No, you know what? I'm not going to be used anymore. Fuck you. You want to fucking use me and then decide that you're only going to talk to me when you decide you want to? Fuck you. Fucking cunt. You get what you deserve. And I've seen what you deserved. I've seen it because you have posted on your fucking Facebook. So fuck you. You want to be a bitch? Fuck you. You get what you deserve.
Do you feel better now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are we smiling? Is it out of our system? Do we feel better?
It is. It is. It's out of my system. I'm smiling. I'm happy. And I'm actually going to call the guest in.
Go get the guest before we get ourselves in a whole mess of hot water.
And there you go. All right. Hold on a second. Let me dial him in, see if he's available.
Again, notice how she says, hold on, because we're on the radio. Hello?
I don't know why I do that. It's habit. Hold on a second. Call failed or was not answered. Dial it again. I'm dialing it again. I know. No. Okay. I guess we're going to try him in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll work. While we're waiting, the other thing I want to bring up, and those of you who are in my woman's page know that I'm going to talk about this, but has anybody aside from me, someone of not a menopausal age, noticed how much heat and sweating is coming from our bodies lately? Has anybody else noticed that? I'm telling you, I'm in the bed sleeping. The next thing I know, I wake up, and it's like someone turned a hose on me. And not in a good, sexy way, more of in a soaky, soaky way. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. I don't know what's going on. And it doesn't appear to be the hormonal type of, you know, continuous sweating. It seems to be this weird, at the same time in the middle of the night, and friends of mine who are not of a menopausal age are going through this, but I'm hearing a lot of our people reporting back to me about the fact that they're suddenly sweating. Everybody thought it was just them, but it's a whole group of us.
Yeah, no, I'm included in that group, and you know, I've thought that menopause has been coming on for a little while. You know, I'm almost 40. I'm going to be 40 this year. But it's not any other symptoms other than I'm just getting hot flashes. And it's usually, like, I've been waking up around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Like, that's when it happens.
Every single fucking morning.
That's when it happens to me, too. I cannot explain it. I wish somebody would come and tell me. But a lot of people have told me that this has to do with the shift and that we're ultra-sensitive to solar flares. And what about that big asteroid, not asteroid, but like this big chunk of something from out of the sky that hit Russia a week ago? I'm like, holy crap.
Right.
Insane.
I don't know what that is, but it's like, there's been some weird astrological shit going on. There really has.
I can't explain it. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But I will tell you, it's a good thing that it's winter, because if it were summer right now, There's only so many layers of clothing you can take off until you hit bare skin. And then what do you do? If I could sit in a tub of ice all day, that would be lovely. But a bitch has to get up and go to work. It's not practical, you know, unless I start wearing ice bags in my drawers. I don't know how else I'm going to keep cool. So anybody who has any ideas on how to keep myself cool, you are welcome to come to Auntie Raina's page and let her know what the trick is, because I'm afraid of summer. I'm afraid of spring right now. If I'm sweating like this in the dead of winter, what the hell is going to happen when it's 60 degrees and over on a daily basis? What?
I think for now, we will have to talk about this with our new nurse guest.
Yes.
But I do believe Damiana and strawberry leaf help with the hot flashes as far as women go. I would have to look up the counterpart for men, but I know Damiana helps regulate hormones.
You know, this is a good question. I have not asked any of our male friends. Guys, are any of you suffering? Any of you guys in the pagan community, are you suffering anything similar, or do you know of anything similar going on with you? Because the women are telling me, what the fuck is going on? One minute you're cool as a cucumber, and the next minute you're like wilted spinach in a pan. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. It's fucking ridiculous. What the hell is going on? Why am I sweating? I'm like, it's freezing in this fucking house. Everybody else is wearing sweaters, and I'm like, I mean, literally. With the up to my fucking thighs, you know, sweating my fucking ass off. It's like I've got swamp crotch over here. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, you better powder that. I'm sorry. I love you, but I do not want any swamp crotch. No, thank you.
I've got some Gold Bond, baby. I've got Gold Bond.
Just don't bake any bread in there.
Yeah. Oh.
You started it. You started it. I'm just saying. You set them up. I'm gonna knock them down.
Hey, I'm talking about powder.
Yeah, well, you led me there. Go get the guest.
No,
retrieve the guest.
Loads in between my legs. No, thank you.
Oh, crazy. Don't offer me yeast roll. Come on, go get them.
Oh God. Oh, all right. Let's try our guest again real quick.
That'd be a great idea.
Like a minute out. Hold on a second.
And again, hold on. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Talisman. Where is he? He gave me the number to dial, and it's not going through. Where you at? Call failed or was not answered. Okay. You know what, while we're talking, I'm going to write him a message.
That sounds like a good idea. Well, that's a first on this show. We apparently have lost our guest and can't find him. If anybody out there knows where the Pagan Pungent is, if you would please have him call the show. His airtime is calling him. And tell him to get his happy ass on the radio.
I'm writing him. Try calling him five times. Where you is?
Okay. Where is you? Wow. Reading is fundamental. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I can't talk about John Boner, Boehner, whatever,
Boner.
Without him.
Bonehead, motherfucker. Oh, I'm sorry, go
ahead. Yeah. No, I need my political fix, and I can't find my pundit. Pundit, phone radio pundit. He's probably stuck in the bathroom like I was before. I'm telling you, my body is working against me in a horrible way this week. It is not pretty. Between the sweating, sweating, constipation, I almost had a panic attack at work today. I mean, there's just too much going on.
Wait. Did you say panic attack? What happened?
I got a major information spike today on account of mine, and apparently where I thought this account was only about 40 locations, this account is well over 100.
Oh my God.
I'm a busy bitch. Yeah, I'm busy, honey. I'm busy. I'm so busy, I should be working. No, I'm busier than busy. I'm busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, honey. I'm telling you.
Tell me about it. What happened?
Well, it was not told to me. I found out by surprise. Surprise, and then my boss looks at me like, oh, didn't you know that? It's like, no, bitch, I didn't know that. How come you didn't tell me if you had this pertinent information? Yeah, I just love the way people assume, you know, our favorite word, assume.
Yeah, make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, well, here you go. So have we still not found our guest? Do I have to cause a riot? Am I going to have to travel to the wilds of Ohio to find him? This is not good.
I'm actually writing on his page right now.
Bitch, where is you?
Yeah, where are you?
Okay.
Where you
I at? I want everybody available to go to the Pagan Pundit page and ask him why he is not currently on the radio.
I'm going to try to call him one more time.
Okay.
He gave me the number to call.
Okay.
On time to call. Call failed or was not answered. So I don't know if he's in a spot where he doesn't have reception.
Well, he needs to move his happy ass to where there is reception.
Yeah, I just wrote on his personal page. Trying to call you, not working. Come on. So I had also written him a private message, giving him the number to call in at. So hopefully he will do that soon. If not, you know, maybe we will have to reschedule. But whatever. We're still having fun. We're still chillaxing. We're still doing whatever. And, you know, yeah, sorry, I went on a rant earlier, but that pissed me off.
Yeah, I noticed that. Well, you know what? Well,
then I get pissed off.
No, well, it's better than being pissed on. Anyway, I know that while I'm going to make a wild guess here. I'm going to say that there is somebody waiting in the queue to talk to us, even though it's not our guest. Am I right?
Yeah, there is. You want to bring her on?
Bring that bitch on.
All right. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Somebody talk to me.
lots of TMI moments tonight, folks.
Lots of what moments?
TMI.
Oh, fuck that. It's my show. I can say whatever I want, baby.
There you go.
I've noticed.
But I noticed it might be TMI, but I noticed you're still listening.
Oh, always.
Because when it comes to too much information, Sharon Moon wants it.
Exactly.
There you go. So what have you noticed?
Way too what for you guys.
that's a true sign of love and a fan. Somebody who will listen to a topic that they could give fuck all about. So Karen, tell Auntie Raina about your sweating episode this week. It's not just me, right?
No,
it's not just me.
You.
What the hell?
I went to bed with my usual blankets. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Had to cuddle under the blankets because it was cold in the room.
Mm-hmm.
3:30 in the morning. My feet are stuck out from under the blankets. I have flung them every which way and wondering why the hell I'm hot.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, and this is an every night occurrence. Normally, when I go to bed, I don't move.
Yeah.
And I've been waking up every morning like my friggin' blankets went through a fucking Cuisinart.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions. Question number one, how long has this been going on?
A week or so.
Okay, second question, are you currently at that time of life right now in this past week?
Just finished it.
Okay.
Days ago.
Okay, so this is not a menopausal situation here.
No, Perry, perhaps, but why this week?
I don't know.
I mean, that's...
Yeah,
you know.
It's been very prevalent this week.
Yeah.
Very.
I mean, I had chalked it up to possible perimenopause, but not so much.
Yeah.
And it seems to me the minute I mentioned it in our page, women came from out of the woodwork to explain the same situation.
Oh, absolutely. It was like, holy crap, me too.
Yeah.
I know. I need more explanation of why this is happening, because it is just berserk.
Good question, because as a healer, I keep things very well regulated 99.975% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just fucking ridiculous.
I swear to God. Now, I will give you a scenario. When I was pregnant with my last son, I was in my 30s. I'm still in my 30s right now, but I was in my 30s when I was pregnant with my second son.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't when I was with my first son. I swear to God, it was like I was so much hotter than I was with my first one. And I he was an August baby. My second baby was a September baby. I literally, because I was pregnant before my second husband and I got married, there was a florist that we went to because my mom wanted us to have at least some kind of ceremony, and I didn't give a shit. You know, but she wanted to buy me flowers, so I was like, all right, fine. My husband suggested a florist, and they had a walk-in cooler. Oh, my God, I could have fucking lived in there. And I feel the same. I feel like I'm pregnant sometimes. It's ridiculous.
It was like today when we were grocery shopping, my housemate and I went back to the dairy case. Now, it
mm-hmm.
being Friday, which means payday, and everybody gets their checks that they would normally get on the 3rd, like
uh-huh.
for SSI and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
The dairy case was fairly well cleaned out. So I had to get on hands and knees and reach back into the cooler to get the very last of the coffee creamer and such. And it was like,
uh-huh.
huh, I think I'll just sit here for a minute.
What a great idea. Now I know where to go. Because I'm a midget. I'm only 5'2". I could fit into one of those cases very easily. Now I know where to go when the next hot flash hits me.
Wally's is good for something, I'll tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
You could probably get away with, like, because I actually used to work in a grocery store. I used to work in the freezer section.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably get away with going in the back and going into the milk section and just standing there for a little while and just say, you know, if somebody turns around and catches you, just say, you know what, I'm going through menopause right now. Just give me like 5 minutes. Don't leave me alone.
Yeah, but that doesn't work when you're 16.
Yeah, just give them the crazy eye, you know.
We give everybody the crazy eye. What is she talking about?
I know, right? Well, it works for many scenarios, I'm telling you. You know? But actually, our guest is on the line. So,
oh, what do you know?
Online, I'm going to put you back in the queue.
Okay.
We appreciate you coming on and talking to us.
Thank you, Karen.
One parting comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Heather Lawson's apology? Sad.
Huh?
So fucking sad. I just read the second section of it.
Yeah.
The boy just needs to hush. Anyway, on that note.
His bow tie's on too tight. You know?
It comes
love you.
Low to his head.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well.
All right, love you, sweetie.
All right, slap me back in the queue.
All right, bye, Mom.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye-bye, Nan.
All right, let's bring our guest on.
Ah.
Is it Mr. Tallyman?
Hey.
Oh, it's the pagan Tarzit. Hey.
Yes. Slap your tails and show yourselves the pagan pundit is on the air.
Finally! Yay!
I got to tell you, though, real quick, I had such a crush on Dwayne from, what is that from? What's Happening?
Hey.
Yes!
Hey.
Oh, my God, I love him. Love him. Hey.
Do you realize how much we're fucking dating ourselves by referencing that show?
Oh, I don't care. I'm going to be 40 this year. I don't care. I do not care.
Okay, she doesn't care, and we've got to get going on this show. Tarleton, sequester, go.
Sequester, oh, God. Well, you know, I think I want to try to be concise with this whole sequester thing because all the market research shows that the sequester tends to turn your average internet person off, faster than a naked picture of Rush Limbaugh. So, really, it's not all that sexy of a topic. Basically, sequester is this. In 2010, the Republicans took over the House of Representatives, and in 2011, they threatened to nuke the world's economy by not raising the debt ceiling. And President Obama was trying to negotiate with them, and there is no negotiating with this Republican caucus. They can't agree with each other. They can't even pass shit that they like, okay?
Yeah.
And so... What it came down to was that somebody in the executive branch had this idea of saying, look, let's not do any cutting right now, but let's go ahead and build in that if we can't find a way to cut the budget and the deficit in a sane and rational manner, then we'll put in these extremely stupid, clumsy fucking cuts known as a sequester that would be so bad that everybody would want to do everything they could to avoid them. Any sane and rational person would want to avoid these cuts, and so they put this into the law. The one thing they didn't think of is that today's Republican Party is neither sane nor rational. So, the sequester was supposed to take effect on January 1st, but that got kicked down the road when they did the fiscal slope deal at the last minute there. But sequestration basically has taken a meat cleaver to the budget. It's cutting $85 billion out of the federal budget over a seven-month period. And, you know, even though people like myself, I love the idea of cutting the defense budget. It's bloated. It's inefficient. But these kind of cuts, if you want to cut the defense budget without really, really just fucking up the entire economy, you've got to do it gradually. You've got to do it in a way that's sane and rational. You've got to phase out programs. You've got to be able to shift workers from one job to another. You've got to be able to just find the most pain-free way to do it. And this is not a pain-free way. This is basically like the idea of, I've got a hangnail, I think I'll cut my finger off, is basically the level that sequester is. And you know, of course, you know, the Republicans keep saying, well, we're waiting for President Obama to lead, as the chief Oompa Loompa John Boehner likes to keep saying. And
fuck him.
Don't fuck him. Please, it only encourages them. But no, President Obama comes out and says, well, let's do this sane and rational mix. We're going to cut some stuff out of entitlements. I'm going to cut some stuff that my own party's going to hate me for. And then we can also cut out some tax loopholes. And you know, we're not going to raise tax rates, but let's cut out some tax loopholes and deductions that rich people use to avoid paying taxes. I mean, for example, one of the most profitable businesses in the country right now is Facebook. And yet Facebook is not going to pay a dime in taxes for 2012. In fact, they are getting a big tax refund because of the loophole. Yes. Yes, they're getting around a $400 million tax refund this year because of all the loopholes and deductions and, you know, that kind of stuff you can do with this. And so the president's saying, look, let's go ahead and cut some spending, and we'll also cut off some loopholes, and we'll find this nice balanced way to get to where we want to be in terms of deficit reduction. And the Republicans are saying, no. So that's basically where we're at right now. The sequester has going into effect. And the thing is that I have an idea of what it is in real terms for real people. If anybody who's listening to this is going to be flying in a plane over the next couple weeks, don't count on being anywhere on time. You're going to be looking at flight delays of up to 5 to 6 hours because they're going to have to furlough a bunch of air traffic controllers. If they don't fix the sequestration, they have a chance to fix some of the sequestration bullshit when they do the continuing resolution to keep the government operating at the end of March, beginning of April. If they don't fix it then, we're basically going to start seeing meat prices go up because plants are not going to be running efficiently because they're going to have to cut a bunch of federal meat inspectors. We're going to look at, over a seven-month period, losing about three-quarters of a million jobs from the economy. So it's really, really a monumentally stupid thing to do. The thing is that, you know, like I said, the Republican caucus, they can't agree on anything. They put their own plan that Republicans wrote, and it couldn't muster a majority in the House. It's just a complete and utter clusterfuck right here. And, you know, so basically it's a really, really stupid way of cutting things. I mean, right now in our economy, we should be putting money in. I mean, we've actually cut the deficit a ridiculous amount. The deficit right now, the budget deficit is only about 1% more of what, in relations to the U.S. economy than it was when Bill Clinton took office over 20 years ago. So we've actually done a really good job at cutting George W. Bush's budget deficit over the last few years. What we really need to be doing is sticking money into the economy so that we can grow the economy and we can get out of our budget mess that way. I mean, that's how Bill Clinton balanced the budget, was having a booming economy. Ironically, the sequester, the way it is, it's so ham-handed, it's actually going to make the budget deficit worse over the next couple of years. So it's gonna put a lot of people on unemployment and food stamps and Medicaid and that sort of thing. So it's actually going to make the budget deficit worse. So that's where we stand on the sequester, or as SE Cup on MSNBC's The Cycle calls it, the Big Axe of 2013. So.
Is there no way out of this, or is this a done deal and it's happening and it can't be stopped?
Well, we've already passed the deadline because basically the day before the sequester is going to take effect, John Boehner decided to adjourn the House of Representatives until Monday. Yeah, well, the thing is, the House Progressive Caucus, a bunch of Democrats who are the really hardcore progressives, had actually introduced a bill. It was a one-line bill that basically repealed the sequester. Basically, because everybody was arguing, well, if we're going to replace the sequester, what do we replace it with? And nobody can agree. And so the progressives said, well, why don't we just stop doing the really stupid thing, and then we'll decide where we're going. It's kind of like you're driving in a car, and you know that you're not going the right direction. You know you're lost. The first thing you should probably do is stop driving until you figure out where to go so that you don't get even farther from your destination. And that's what the House Progressive Caucus proposed, a one-line bill that just said the sequester is repealed. And then they could go back to the drawing board and come up with a much better way to cut the budget. But that, of course, would not even be brought to the floor by John Boehner. So the Republicans somehow think that this is going to look bad for the president. But let's face it, right now, the pedophile priests in the Catholic Church have a higher approval rating than the House Republicans do right now. So they're when you look at it, though, I would not want John Boehner's job for all of the marijuana in Washington State, because this guy cannot control his caucus. He can't even get them to vote for stuff that they introduced. So it's to show you
To me, it all boils down to you can't agree with the black man.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, let's face it. When they first decided to threaten to not raise the debt ceiling, they had raised it two or three times a year under George W. Bush. And they'd actually raised it two or three times a year under Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat that they really hated slightly more than gonorrhea. But, this is not your 90s Republican Party, though. That's the thing. To understand how dysfunctional the Republican Party is right now, Newt Gingrich looks like a statesman compared to these guys.
I'm telling you, there has been. I've seen him because I'm an old woman at heart. I watch Sunday morning, and I've seen, the show with Bob Schieffer afterward. I've actually agreed with Newt Gingrich on a couple things, and that scares the fuck out of me.
I know.
This Republican Party has lost their fucking minds.
I actually found myself agreeing with Karl Rove sometime, which is really fucking scary for me. So,
yeah, that's scary.
Because Karl Rove has a new pack right now, and he said that Republicans have got to stop nominating crazy people for offices and losing races that they could have easily won. And that's really, the hell of it is that Karl's right. I mean, that's really, really screwing him up there. But it's only half the story. It's the fact that the party itself is so dysfunctional, and they keep embracing the far right. And to give you an idea of how dysfunctional this party is, and most people don't believe me when I tell them this, but you can look at the Rachel Maddow website, and there's a story that she did on this very, very thing. There is a federal court in Oklahoma that has a vacancy. Now, when there's a federal court with a vacancy, the president appoints somebody, the Senate confirms them, and then they go to work being a judge, a federal judge. And when this federal court in Oklahoma had a vacancy, Barack Obama went to the two senators from Oklahoma, both Republicans, both very, very conservative guys, and said, hey, who do you think would be a good person to fill this judgeship, this judge's job in Oklahoma? And they pointed out this guy, I can't remember his name, but they both agreed. This one guy, he's great. He'll be a great judge. He's very well qualified. And the two Republicans recommended this guy. And Barack Obama said, you know what? You're right. This guy would be perfect for the job. He's qualified. He's really smart. So I'm going to appoint him. At that point, the Republican minority in the Senate filibustered the pick. And two of the people who were supporting the filibuster were the two guys who recommended this judge for the job.
They're
filibustering their own candidate, because the minute that Barack Obama says, I agree with you, they feel like they have to change their minds.
Yeah, you know, See, that's the whole thing. And I'll give you an example. I went to my son's school, my youngest son's school, today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there, and I was helping her with the students because the teacher is being replaced right now. She has left for family reasons. So they're looking for a replacement. So they've got a substitute teacher right now. And,
right.
I mean, that poor substitute teacher, she's, like, trying to make copies on copies because they don't have enough paper. They don't have enough glue. They don't have enough crayons. You know,
right.
And as, you know, I'm sorry, but as a working poor person myself, I don't have enough to supply the entire class. And I know most of the other parents don't because they have, like, a couple kids each.
Right.
You know, and it's like that's the first place that it hits is the schools. Why is that? Why do they like damage the schools first? That is our future. And that's the first place that budget cuts hit.
The one thing you have to understand, too, though, is that there's an official point in the Republican Party platform that calls for the abolishment of the Department of Education. Because the Republican Party wants the schools to fail because they want to shift the schooling of our children to for-profit corporations paid by our tax dollars. That is their official stance that they want to do. And if public schools actually succeed and are thriving, people aren't going to feel quite so quick to hand the reins over to Mr. Private Corporation. They really want to privatize the schools. They want to privatize... I mean, the Republican Party actually wants to privatize disaster relief. They want to replace FEMA with a private corporation that gets tax dollars. So,
but that's not going to work. That's the whole thing. It's not going to work.
Well, they're not worried about it working. They're worried about there's two reasons why they're not worried about it working. One, of course, that they want to shift as much money from the public sector into the private sector as possible. But also, the basic governing philosophy of the Republican Party, and it's been this way for 33 years, since the Reagan revolution that happened, their basic ideal is that government is never the solution, government never works, and the private sector is always better. And this has been their shtick. And if there's any part of government that works, like something like Social Security has been wildly successful at alleviating elderly poverty over the past 50, 60 years. Social Security has been a wildly successful program, and because it works so well, they feel they must target it for destruction because it goes against their governing philosophy. Same reason why they want to go after Medicare and Medicaid, because Medicare and Medicaid are two of the most efficient health insurance companies in the country. Because they are very well run, they're very efficiently run, they're not worried about profits, so they don't have all the layers of paper, they don't try to find ways to not cover you, because that's not their job. And so the three things that the Republicans want to eviscerate in exchange for not wrecking the U.S. economy are Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So it's all a part of any part of government that works, they want to get rid of because it kind of goes against their philosophy.
It's fucking ridiculous. Fuck their philosophy.
I mean, it is completely and utterly. And, you know, the funny thing is that after the last election, when the Republicans were basically losing horribly with anybody who doesn't wear a white hood on weekends, everybody said, oh, well, they're going to have to rebrand themselves. They're going to have to try to fix their image. And and yet the Republicans on state levels are completely sucking this in the ass. I mean, for a party so opposed to gay sex, they really like sucking themselves in the ass. I got to say that. I mean, recently Illinois tried to pass a law that would force women who were getting the RU486 abortion pill to get not one, but two transvaginal ultrasounds, one before and one after, for no other reason than to make it miserable for them.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry, but I've had those, you know, as a woman wanting to continue my pregnancy. And they were fucking miserable. I hated them. Hated them. You know, I mean, it's like basically having some strange woman stick a fucking dildo up your cooch.
Exactly. And they don't even buy you a drink first. They're really fun.
Exactly. It's like, you know, because you can drink because you're pregnant, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No, and the hell of it is that, you know, it's really, really funny, too, because if you look at just the messaging on the whole sequester thing, the tea partiers, the tea hottest, are all saying about how this is nothing, this is a drop in the bucket, it's not really going to be consequential, and all of the establishment guys are saying this is a horrible, terrible thing. I mean, this is literally, I mean, this is the party of Sybil. They are openly at war with each other. And I'll tell you, when the next presidential election comes and you don't have a black guy at the top of the Democratic ticket, you're really going to see it get ugly, because the only thing that's been unifying the Republicans for the past 4 or 5 years is the fact that they all don't like President Obama. But if you see someone like Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden run, then they're just going to be completely openly at war with each other because they're not going to have the black guy to beat up any.
Right.
Yeah.
And personally, I'm just going to say, give me the fucking popcorn, man. I want a ringside seat at this shit. Yeah. Let's put Bill O'Reilly in the ring with Rush Limbaugh and Karl Rove. You know, man, it'll be the bald lard bucket, fight to beat all. And I can tell you, I am not a skinny guy, and you know, it's just so I will go around and call them, you know, fat fucking lard buckets, because hey, I can't. It's like a woman can call another. It's like a woman can call a female politician a bitch and not be considered bad for it. Well, I'm a fat guy, so I can say that Rush Limbaugh is a fat fucking piece of shit. So nobody can give me shit about it because I am fat too. Or should I say I am gravity challenged. So,
you know what? I prefer the term candy-coated. I consider myself candy-coated. I like that term. You know,
there you go.
I don't like the term fluffy. I don't like most of the terms, but you know, candy coated, I can live with that. I like that. It sounds yummy.
I like the term substantial. So
there you go. Substantial. I like that too.
I am a substantial hairy ass pundit. So
you're our pundit, and we love you. So there you go.
Well, let's talk about something a little happier here. Let's talk about something a little happier here because the Obama administration yesterday, on the very last day that they could have, but they did do it, filed a friend of the court brief asking the Supreme Court to overturn Proposition 8 in California. So And not only that, but that means that they have joined a huge strong. I mean, literally, there was a letter signed by 200 prominent Republican politicians and business leaders asking the court to overturn Proposition 8. So things are really moving there. Recently, the Human Rights Campaign put out an incredible ad backing marriage equality, and it had quotes on it from Barack Obama, Laura Bush, Dick Cheney, and a couple of other people, all favoring marriage equality. So this is something that's really gaining some steam here. And
awesome.
I mean, the arguments are going to be heard in June on both the Prop 8 case and the DOMA case, the Defense of Marriage Act. And, in fact, in the Defense of Marriage Act, Bill Clinton, the president who signed it into law, is going to be, from what I hear, is going to be submitting a letter to the Supreme Court regretting his decision and saying that if he were in office today, he would never do it. So there's some momentum building behind these two cases. And there's two ways that the court can go on this. The court can either go narrow. There's two types of ways that we could win on this. One is narrow and one is sweeping. Now, if they rule narrowly to toss these laws out, then basically they would be saying that DOMA is unconstitutional and that the federal government has to recognize marriages in any state no matter what. And Proposition 8 could be ruled unconstitutional because it was basically a situation where people were given a right and then had it taken away by popular referendum, which really isn't supposed to be able to happen. That's why we have a Bill of Rights in the first place. So those would be the narrow victories. However, there is going to be a strong case made in both of these cases that the 14th Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause in the Bill of Rights, in the amendments in the Constitution, basically guarantee gay marriage across the country, because the Equal Protection Clause says that all Americans shall have equal protection under the law. You can't have a law that gives protection to some people and not others. And, there's some very, very good legal minds that are saying that they could easily legalize gay marriage across the nation just by saying it's already in the Constitution. Now, there's not a huge chance that this court's going to do that, because when they do make the right decision, they usually do it holding their noses. It's going to be a 5-4 decision no matter which way you cut it. But it's really weird, because right now the Supreme Court seems poised to strike down the Voting Rights Act, and yet they could wind up legalizing gay marriage. It's a very, very weird time in Supreme Court politics, and it's also really important why it's good to have Barack Obama in office for the next few years, because there are going to be some of these Supreme Court justices retiring, and we got to make sure, if Mitt Romney had been appointing them, then you could have said goodbye to just about every social advancement in the 20th century. So, it's a very, very odd time in the court, but as far as in the terms of gay rights, it's a very exciting time, because, there are very few people who think that either Prop 8 or DOMA are going to be upheld. It just depends on how they are struck down and how sweeping it is.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm telling you right now, in our lifetime, we will see the equality of marriage come to fruition.
Oh, yeah. We'll see it relatively soon. I mean, things are just falling. It's really just going to take the right case. The right court cases to do it. I mean, literally, it could wind up getting struck down. I mean, all these anti-equality laws could get struck down by lower courts, and the Supreme Court could just do their favorite bit when they really want to have a certain outcome but don't want to actually put their names on it. They just let the lower court ruling stand. So that's the easy way. They won't say up or down whether they agree or not. They're just going to say, we're not going to get involved, and boom, the lower court ruling stands. So that's something that we're going to see. And, I mean, it's really interesting, too, because we're going to see marriage equality, and we're most likely going to see marijuana legalization across the country, too. So really, when you think about it, that part in the Bible that said that a man will not lay down with another man lest he be stoned really takes on a whole new meaning. So.
Don't get me started on that shit.
I will guarantee you, once Washington State starts raking in the tax revenue from legalized taxed marijuana, and they see what kind of money comes in without having to raise a single income tax, corporate tax, or property tax, you're going to see Republicans across this country start promoting this stuff. The other states are just going to fall like dominoes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Once they figure out they can make money off of it, I'm sorry, but you've got to be stupid. It's a cash crop. It is a cash crop. And it makes people happy. What is wrong with making people happy?
Well, a lot of states for years, too, were really depending on the taxes that they got from cigarettes. Cigarette taxes funded states for a long time, but the rates of smoking have been just dropping like a rock. I mean, they've been dropping faster than Mitt Romney's poll numbers. And the rates to replace that money. Serious, smoking rates are going down faster than Paris Hilton at a kegger.
And I agree. I am still a smoker. I went to electronic cigarettes, which I plan on going back to fairly soon. But, yeah, as a smoker since the age of 19, I've been smoking, 20 years now?
Yeah.
I can understand that, but I want to give it up.
I want
to give it up.
Well, you could just do what my wife did when she had only been smoking for about 11 years when she decided she wanted to quit. But basically, whenever she wanted a cigarette, I'd get her high. And she'd forget all about wanting to smoke tobacco after that.
I found that, if I have some and I've smoked a little bit, it's like, I just want to sit there and just enjoy the TV or whatever the fuck I'm doing. I don't want to go outside because we don't smoke in the house.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'll think about it like, you know, I really want to go out for a cigarette. But then it's like, by the time I get around to it, it's bedtime and I'm ready to go to bed and I've forgotten about smoking.
Are you kidding? You know, I mean, I'll tell you that I've actually used marijuana as a way of losing weight. Yes, you heard me say it, losing weight.
Oh, no, no,
and let
I
me
agree
explain
with
how.
You.
Yes,
because you don't feel like getting up to go get the fucking food.
Well, it's not just that. It's just that, too, that I am not a wealthy individual, and when I buy weed, I've got to make it stretch. And so I do two things. One, I smoke right after I eat. Because if you've already eaten, you're not going to get necessarily get munchies. And also, when you don't have that, you know, what happens when you smoke weed and then you eat? You ground. You lose your high. And I can't afford to keep, you know, getting high over and over and over again because I keep stuffing my face. So it's like, yeah, you know what? That would taste really good, but I want to ride this high for a while. And, ooh, look, fireflies on. Cool. So,
see, I got to teach you how to make firecrackers, baby. I'll send you the recipe. Way longer. I can teach you how to stretch that shit out with peanut butter and crackers. I'm telling you right now.
And actually, I'll say the one thing I actually love to munch when I'm really, really high is I just like to dip green peppers and honey mustard. Ooh, that's so good. Anyway,
ooh, gosh, that sounds good.
It's very good, and it's also healthy. It's not bad for you either. So,
can we get back to the show, please? I'll let you go for a while, but now bring it back. We have 14 minutes. We have 14 minutes left, 15 minutes left. I want more politics. Thank you.
Okay. Fire away. What do you want to know about?
Sister has spoken.
Well, in talking about going back to the gay marriage topic, I have to give a shout out to Kindle. I don't know if anyone else has seen this commercial, but there is a commercial for the Kindle HD now where there's a guy that is sitting on a chaise lounge at the ocean trying to read his ebook. There's a beautiful girl sitting in the next set of two seats, and she's reading her Kindle HD, and she sees the guy struggling, and she's like, what's wrong? And he says, oh, I can't read it. It's the glare, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I can read, you know, on my Kindle HD, I can read this, and it's beautiful, and it's great. You know, I can read it in any kind of light. It's got a backlight for night reading. And a few seconds later, he says, okay, I'm done. She says, you finished your book? He says, no, I just ordered a Kindle. And she says, that's great. And he says, we should celebrate. And she looks at him as though he's trying to pick her up. And she looks at him all snarky and says, well, my husband is getting me a drink. And he says to her, well, so is mine. They both turn around and two men wave at them. I said, applause to Kindle. So I think it was a very brave move on their part to actually have a commercial that is so out front and saying, you know what, there's nothing wrong with this. This is a great commercial and a great message.
One thing I love that happened last year was JCPenney had an ad that featured two dads, and of course the religious right went nuts, and their answer to the religious right was to put out another ad that had two moms. So they were kind of like,
beautiful.
You. Yes. And well, that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, you're getting to the point where even self-described evangelicals of a certain age, like the 18 to 29-year-old demographic, are 70% in favor of allowing gay marriage. I mean, it's just... it really is a generational thing. And it's just an incredible thing to watch, because normally you don't get this kind of movement in American culture that quickly. And when they were, so it started pulling the idea of gay marriage back in 92, you had maybe 21% in favor, and now it's around 60. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, interracial marriage was legalized in the early 60s, and there are some parts of the U.S. where it's still not a majority favorable thing. So, of course, most of those places are places where people can say they're sister, cousin, mama, and it's the same person, but I digress. I mean, just the incredible movement that we've seen on this issue so quickly, and I'll tell you, it comes down to visibility. The more people who are out, the more people who go and show that it's not some caricature like you see on TV, it's real, honest people. I mean, really, it's the same thing that led to an incredible amount of acceptance for witches and pagans and other earth spiritual people. I mean, when I first got involved in witchcraft back in 1987 is when I started reading about it, I was everybody's first witch for many, many years. And around the mid-90s, it started shifting. I stopped being people's first witch, first pagan that they ever met, because there were more and more of us who were, ditching the broom closet and living openly. And whatever it is, whether you're gay, whether you're pagan, maybe you're a gay pagan, who knows, but when you actually come out and say, this is who I am, and with no apologies, the people who've known you, especially the people who've known you for a long time, have to come to a very basic decision. They either have to go, okay, I've heard all these stories about these people being these evil, perverted motherfuckers, and either I am a horrible judge of character and I've been hanging around with an evil, perverted motherfucker for years and not know it, or maybe those stories are all bullshit and gives people a chance to evolve while, with, kind of a face-saving measure. As a matter of fact, I'm actually going to be working on an article once I finish the move into my new house. Hopefully, we'll be done in mid-March. I'm going to be working on an article about how the gay community and the pagan community are really, really similar in the way that we interact with the rest of the world. I mean, think about it. Vastly misunderstood. Telling our parents can be a real nail biter. And both gay people and pagans get really annoyed at college kids who play and dabble with the facade of it just as a way of pissing off their relatives. So
it's true.
I'm going to call it pink pentagrams. So that's going to be that piece. Once.
Oh, I love it.
Everybody know when I finish that. Of course, now I have a laptop, so I can actually get more writing done wherever I'm at now. The income tax time has been kind. So,
yay!
Yes, I've got a laptop, a bag of weed, and a Blu-ray player. My ass is not leaving the house for a while.
That's awesome.
And, of course, I've got the Rachel Maddow Show DVR'd. So once I get off the phone here, I'm probably going to go in and watch Rachel, because Rachel rules. I would definitely recommend, if anybody wants, again, anybody who wants to know where I get a lot of info from, other than the Daily Coast website, watch Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, and The Cycle. And the interesting thing about The Cycle on MSNBC, it's on at 3 in the afternoon, is that it's got a bunch of younger people on it, people from their mid-20s to mid-30s, but you've got a mix of liberals and conservatives on there having real conversations. And the conservative they have on the show, Essie Cupp, is actually not a fucking moron. So she recently got roasted by people in the Republican Party by suggesting it would be a good idea to call Rush Limbaugh basically a crazy moron. So there are still a few that have a brain.
Seriously. Don't get me started on that fucker.
Before we run out of time, I want to let all the listeners know that I've been talking with Dorian today about this through messaging, but I'm hoping that perhaps by next month I'm going to have a way where I can have a Google Plus Hangout where people can come in and we can be video chatting while I'm on the air doing the segment. So we will have a whole new level of interactivity, hopefully, in the next month or two.
Yes, we are going to work on that, she said.
we're going to try to implement that, and just a heads up to our audience, if there's not a way to do it on Blog Talk Radio, please check our page. We will be announcing how to do that and where we're going to do that. Let me find our page real quick, and I will post that. So keep an eye on that. But we're going to figure out how to do this, because I think that is an awesome idea.
And you can see me. You can see me while I'm screaming. That'll be fun for our listeners.
And here's an idea. While we're working on that, something that all you campers at home can do, I was just thinking that a good little competition for everybody would be dress your favorite sexual aid, whether it's a dildo or a vibrator, up as your favorite member of the House GOP caucus. Because I saw a dildo recently that was exactly John Boehner orange. I swear it was. And you just you put a suit on that thing and a cheesy haircut, and it would be a dead ring. So.
Oh my God, that's awesome! I know. What the hell is that with him? He looks like he should be on Jersey Shore, but like you know, they're creepy fucking molester uncle.
Right. Well, I just think that that's what happens when Oompa Loompas go bad.
We represent the 1%. Oh, I love Freddie.
Yes, kids, this is what happens when you smoke marijuana while watching Kevin Smith movies on Blu-ray. So.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I'm telling you.
Well, Carlson, we are going to let you go back to watching that and send our love to Rachel Maddow for us.
Oh, believe me, the Rachel Maddow show is on my bucket list. You better believe that. So.
I believe it.
And she's like, yeah, that ain't happening. No.
And remember, there's only one of them, and that's fuck them. So be good and be wild and be just agitate, man. Just agitate. And this is the Pagan Pundit, and I will see you all next time.
Yeah. Hopefully we will actually see you next time.
Yay.
We're going to work that out. I'm going to figure out how to do this, and we are going to make it happen.
Bitch on a mission.
Yes.
Yes.
You are giving me a mission this week. All right. Love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Love you, Carlson. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Bye.